Okay, we're starting at Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. What we did yesterday was we looked at all the different, the order of the psukim in the brachot in the Amidah, and we saw, starting from the beginning, the first three based on the Mizmor Tehillim of Havu L'Hashem B'nei Elim, Havu L'Hashem Kavod Va'oz, Havu L'Hashem Kavod Shemo. Okay, Shtachavu L'Hashem B'had B'Kodesh, and those are the first three brachot. Then we started taking psukim that show the order of events. First, you need to have understanding. You move from there to do tshuva. From there, you get slicha. From there, geula. And then geula really should have been, it should have been refuah first. But geula comes because it was the seventh bracha, and the geula is going to come in the Shemitah year. And then from there, we get to, so then the refuah. After the geula, what's going to happen? Then there's going to be, the tshi'it is the mafki'e sharim. That was about, David said it in the ninth Mizmor. Berkat Hashanim comes next because David said in the ninth Mizmor of Tehillim, which was really Tehillim Yud, but some people write Aleph and Bet were together. In the ninth Mizmor of Tehillim, it talks about having the prices lowered and therefore Shvor Zroah Resha, right, to break the arms of the Rishaim and therefore bring down the prices. Then we had kibbutz galiyot after that, because once things are good, then it's going to be kibbutz galiyot. Then there's going to be din b'rishayim, that's Hashiva Shoftenu k'barishona, and it comes up together, the din l'rishayim and Hashiva Shoftenu k'barishona come up together in Yeshayahu Perek Aleph. Then, once we get din b'rishayim, we're going to get rid of all the poshim and the zedim, and that's v'lam al shinim al titikva. From there, the Rishaim are going to go down, the Tzadikim are going to go up. From there, we said that Tzadikim are also connected with the Gerim, because we saw Mipnei Seva Takum V'Hadarta Pnei Zakem, which really means the Tzadikim, right? This Kenim that are, they're understanding it a little more loosely, that it's really the Tzadikim. And then it says right after that, B'chi Yagor Yitchem Ger, once the evil, right, the evil people get wiped out, or the evil gets wiped out, the Tzadikim rise up, then where's that going to be? In Yerushalayim. And then it's going to be rebuilt, and then David's going to come, and that's Etzemach David. And once David comes, then, and this is where we ended off, Bat Tfilah. Then we're going to get to Shema Kolenu, which is the general bracha for Tfilah, because David kind of set the groundwork for the Beit HaMikdash. And we use the Pasuk, V'havi'otim al har kadshiva simachtim bebeit tfilati. Okay, now, from here we move to Avodah. Why? What's the continuation after that Pasuk? But Kevan, we're starting out the fourth line of Yud Chet. Kevan Shabbat Tfilah Bat Avodah Shneamar. If you remember the end of that song, Olotehem V'Zibchehem L'Ratzon Mizbechi. So once I bring you to the Beit HaMikdash, obviously what's going to happen, right? It's a place for Tfilah, B'Beit Tfilati, but also obviously for your Olot and Zbachim. V'Kevan Shabbat Avodah Bat Todah. Okay, now once you have the Avodah, then you comes the thanks. Shneamar V'Zevach Todah Yechabdineni. Okay, because the Zevach is connected with the Todah. Zvachim are a form of thanks for God. Umara ulomar berkat kohanim achar hoda'ah. So now why does berkat kohanim come here? The last, right? We're going to see they look at the last bracha as a combination. They're going to treat each one separately. There's berkat kohanim and there's shalom. Okay, sim shalom. So they're treated almost here. They're obviously not two separate brachot, but two separate inyanim. Berkat kohanim is one thing that comes, and then the Sim Shalom comes, because Berkat Kohanim was kind of an addition to that bracha. So number one, they say, why Berkat Kohanim after Hoda'ah? Dichtiv, Vayisa Aharon et yadav el ha'am, Vayivarchem. Aharon picks up his arms to bless the nation. Vayere b'asot ha'chatat v'ha'olah v'ashlamim. And then he goes down from bringing the chatat olah and the shlamim, which seems to connect between Avodah and Berkat Kohanim. If you already are asking the question, it's going to be obvious, the question. In other words, in this, the order, right, we have Avodah, Hoda'ah, and Berkat Kohanim. So there's going to be two problems here. Number one, it sounds from the Pasuk that Berkat Kohanim comes before Avodah, right? Because then, Vayere Ma'asot HaChatat. First he does the Berkat, then he goes down from Ma'asot HaChatat. And the second thing is going to be, why is Hoda'ah in the middle? So, first they say, Ema Kodem Avodah. Now, maybe you should say it before Avodah, like the Pasuk says. And then they say, no, you misunderstood the Pasuk. Lo sakadatach, dichtiv vayered me'asot hachatat. Miktiv la'asot. It doesn't say vayered la'asot hachatat. He doesn't go down to do the chatat. It says, me'asot k'tiv. What does it mean? It means Aharon went to bless the people, and then he goes down from doing the chatat, meaning he did the chatat already. And then he did the bracha, and then he goes down from all the work he was doing. Okay, but it means that at the same time he was doing the chatat, and it was in the same time period, but it means he was already done with the chatat. It doesn't mean he's now doing the chatat. It means he had already done it beforehand. So therefore we say avodah comes before berkat koinim. It still doesn't answer about hoda'ah. Why is that in the middle? So they say, v'lemra achar ha'avodah, right? So why don't we say it immediately after avodah then, before hoda'ah? Lo salkada tachdiktiv zoveach todah. It says Zoveach Todah. So here you see the connection between the Zavach and the Todah. So now they're going to ask exactly as they asked yesterday. If you recall, there were two psukim, and one said that Tzlichah should go right next to the Tshuva, and one said Rifuah should go right next to the Tshuva. So they say, my chazit to Samachahai, Samachahai, what made you choose to rely on Zoveach Todah instead of on the pasuk of Vayered Me'asot HaChatat? So the answer, Ahai Mistabra, Mistabra, Avodah v'Hoda'ah chada miltahi. Avodah and Hodah is like one thing. Because Zevach Todah, the Zevach is defined as a Zevach Todah. That's all connected. Part of the bringing of Korbanot is a way of thanking God. They're intertwined. So therefore, when you're going to say, we're going to do Berkat Kohanim after the Avodah, it's going to be after Avodah and Hoda'ah, because that's one thing. Okay. Umara ulomar sim shalom achar berkat koinim. Here's where you see that it was treated as something separate. So now we add sim shalom to the list. So how do we get sim shalom? And this is maybe a good message for today. Dichti v'samu et shmi al bnei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. Bracha dehagadosh baruchu shalom. The bracha of God is peace. If you're talking about, right, it says v'samu et shmi al bnei Yisrael and I will bless them. What is the meaning of being blessed? Blessed is with peace. So I wish upon us that today will be a peaceful day. Shneamar Hashem yivarech et amo b'shalom. Okay, that's where we see the bracha going with shalom, and therefore shalom is a central theme of bracha. Even the brachat koinim, it also says v'yasem lecha shalom. I'm surprised I didn't bring that as a proof. But anyway, Hashem yivarech et amo b'shalom. Here we see bracha is peace.
Are they trying to prove why something was already done, or that is which came first?
I assume this was in an order, and they were
they're trying to find a reason for the order. Yes. The order didn't come because of this logic.
I'll tell you this: it's possible the order came because of this logic. Unlikely, and even if it did come because of this logic, what's happening here is after the fact, and they're trying to give a reason for what is existing. So whenever, I would say this many times in the Gemara, in Halacha, in Minhag, in all, right, we often have something in existence, and later they try to find a reason for it, an answer for it. Okay, the best example always is Kitniot, right? Kitniot was established for some sort of reason. Nobody knows why. The first hearings we hear about Kitniot are all these people trying to say the fact that they do this must be because of this, but nobody really knows why it started. So that's like a good example, and it happens all the time. So I would say the same for you. It could be that this is the reason, and it could be this was what it was based on, but nobody really knows that to be the case, and it's probably not likely that it was exactly like this. As again, some of this is logical, right? To say that first you need understanding, and then you come to tshuva, and then you get slicha. Right. There's logic to it, and it's very possible
which
that the logic was based on that. It's very possible, but it's not. What's clear here is the sugya is coming after it's already been in existence, and therefore it's an explanatory Mishnah rather than, you know, it's trying to come and, not Mishnah, Gemara, it's trying to come and explain what exists. You know, again, it might be all the truth, it might not be. Okay, so now we're finished with this, we're almost done with this section. We have to go back now to something it said in the beginning. There were two statements. One was Shimon HaPakoli, Histir, B'Yavne, and one was Me'al V'Esrim Zkenim, U'Bahem Kamenivim. We're Masadir the Brachot al HaSeder. So now they say, V'chime achar demea v'eshrim zkenim u'mehem kama nevi'im tiknu tefila al HaSeder. Shimon HaPakoli, my Histir, what did he do? Right? If it was already done from way before his time. Shechachum v'chazar v'sidrum. Okay? It means they forgot it, and then they went and reestablished it. Okay, we've seen this before in a bunch of situations. The last time we saw this was with the Mansapach, with the Otiyot, the Sofiyot, and the Rishoniyot, and how could the Nevi'im be mitchadesh davar shelo haya? And they said, oh, it wasn't, it was just that they forgot it. Mikam ve'elach, asur l'saper, okay, the last thing we're going to finish off on the concept of tefillah is Now that we have all these brachot, mikam ve'elach asur lesaper b'shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From here on in, we have these brachot, we can no longer add anything more to the shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which is interesting, because already in this count was vilamal shinim, because we talked about the zedim. But we all know that that was a bracha that was instituted later. But at a certain point, they decided there's no more changing the Shemoneh Esrei. The way it is the way it is. You can't add anything. And what's the logic here? De Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mai Dichtiv, Mi Yemalel Gvurot Hashem, Yashmia Kol Tilato. Lemina El Yemalel Gvurot Hashem, Lemi Sheyachol Yashmia Kol Tilato. Who's the one who can decide on what we should be saying to God? How can we praise God? Lemi Yemalel Gvurot Hashem. Who's the one who's going to word it? Someone who can be Mashmia Kol Tilato. What do we all know, right? If you go to praise somebody, you go up to speak about someone and before they do a lecture, right? You want to say something nice about them. You're always nervous because whatever you say isn't going to include lots of other things, right? You're going to say something, but it's not going to be everything about the person. So all the more so with God. If we start to add praises about him, we're going to miss all sorts of other things. So they say the only person who can come up with new things to say about God is only someone who can talk about everything about God. And since there is nobody who can do that, therefore we can no longer do it. Now, obviously, you have to say, well, how did they do it in the first place, right? If somebody had to say something, but I guess now that they have this structure, they want to close it. They basically want to seal it. There's no more room for change. Here's a good indicator of the, you know, certain things were in their development. We talked a lot of times about tefillah and how tefillah was very much so in this time period developing and changing. And at a certain point, there had to be some closure on certain things. Other things developed much more so from here. But on the Amidah, how many brachot and what brachot are in, they basically closed the door here. Amar Rabba Rabba Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Here we're going to go a little bit more along these lines, a few different statements. Hamisaper b'shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoter midai ne'akar min ha'olam. If you speak too much about God's praises, you're going to be uprooted from the world. Okay, you're going to get killed. Shenemar, hayisuparlo, here's a pasuk from Yov. Hayisuparlo ki adaber, im amar ish ki, I think it's yivula, let me just check. Yivula, ki yivula. Okay, what does this mean? Someone who's trying to be a saper, okay, ki adaber, im amar ish, could someone, hayisuparlo, could someone actually talk about God and say all the things about him? Ki adaber im amar ish, if somebody did, ki yuvula, he will be swallowed up. If somebody tries to praise God in his own words, he'll be swallowed up. Here they're talking basically about the dangers of you making your own tefillot. Okay, it's interesting. Obviously, there was a struggle going on in those days between maybe people trying to say their own tefillot and not succeeding, or they wanted to kind of say there's a set text, which in our days is much more obvious. Now, yes, people want to do their own tefillot, and maybe nowadays there's actually this whole move of why do we have to keep with the set tefillah, and there's people who want to say their own thing, and there's a little bit of a backlash about this whole thing. But I think the idea being basically that they're trying to structureize the tefillah and make it set so that people don't do their own thing, yet it's all together. And again, understood in the historical context of before their time, it really wasn't like that, and now it's being established. So logical that they should make all these statements about establishing things. And now we're going to have another thing along these lines. Okay, what we're talking about until this point is not saying too much about God to praise him, because the more you say, sometimes it's almost like you put your foot in your mouth, right? You might say too much. So now they're going to go off about the value of silence and not saying things in general, not just about God and tefillah, but in general. Darash Rabbi Yehuda ish kfar gvuraya, v'amri la ish kfar gibor chayil. Okay, there's different masorot about what the name of his city was or where he came from. Mai dichtiv lecha dumia tihila, sama dekula mashtuka. The sam, the drug for everything, is silence. Okay, that's what it means, lecha dumia tihila. Better off to just be silent. Ki ata Rav Dimi, Amar b'marav. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael and said, this is what they say in Israel, Mila b'sela, mashtuka b'train. If you can buy a word for a sela, you can buy silence for two slaim. Okay, silence is worth double words. Okay, we all know from experience that sometimes people say things that they were better off not saying, and sometimes you're just better off not saying things. You get yourself into trouble, or you insult other people, or you people often sometimes just speak without thinking, and it's dangerous often. And that's what the sugya is ending off on. Okay, we're moving back to our Mishnah. Kra'a al-peh lo yatsa. Okay, if you read the Megillah ba'al-peh, meaning you don't read the words inside, you say it out loud, okay, without reading it. You just kind of recite, right? You, like the way we often say Shema. Not everybody reads in their sitter when they say Shema. Okay, Shema you can say al-peh. But reading the Megillah, you can't do it al-peh. Minalan. Amarava ati zechira zechira. K'tiv hacha vayamim ha'ele nizkarim. Uktiv hatam k'tov zot zikaron b'sefer. Ma lahalam b'sefer, af kam b'sefer. So because it says by us, ha'yamim ha'ele nizkarim v'nasim, and by Amalek it says k'tov zot zikaron b'sefer, you have k'tiva with zikaron, right? And writing it in a book. So they say, just like that's in a book, this also has to be in a book. Umimai dahai zechira kriyahi. And how do we know then that zechira is kriya? It sounds from here like zechira is to write it in a book. Whoever said it has to be to read, which we've discussed. Dilma iyum ba'alma. Maybe it means just to read it, to understand it, but not to recite it. Lo salkadatach. Why not? Ditanya, here it's a mistake, it should be ditanya. Zachor. Okay, now this is a braita that talks exclusively about Amalek. This doesn't have to do with the Zechira and the Megillah, but they're going to say whatever's true for the Zechira of Amalek is going to be true for us here. Zechor. When it says Zechor, Yachol Belev, you would have thought just maybe in your heart. Kishahu Omer Lotishkach, Hareshechachat Halev Amor. When you say, in by Amalek it says double Hashem, right? Zechor, right? Lotishkach. Zechor et asher salcha Amalek, Lotishkach. So now they say, right, Lo Tishkach comes, where does it? Rabbi Yabaniach Hashem Elokecha Mikol Levecha Misaviv. Right, it says, first, this is all in Dvarim, okay? This is what we read for, no, this is not, right, this is in Kitetze. So, Zachor Tasher Savacha Lamalek Baderek Batsetchem Mitzrayim, right? And then it says, and this is what we read for Pashat Zachor, Vayabaniach Hashem Elokecha Lecha Mikol Levecha Misaviv Ba'arta Sher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha Nachala Lerishta Timche Et Zecher Amalek Mitachat Hashabayim Lo Tishkach. Okay? So you have Zachor in the beginning, remember what they did, and then you have Lo Tishkach. So they say, when you say Lo Tishkach, that means don't forget it, always remember it in your heart. That's clearly, don't remove it from your heart. So ha'mani makayem zachor. So what do we learn from zachor? It must be bepeh. Okay, and that means you have to recite it. So once we say you have to recite it there, we learn for Megillah, where it also says zachor, that you have to recite it. Okay, and then reciting it, we said, has to be from the written text, which we also learn from Amalek. Kra'at targum lo yatsa. If you read it in translation, you're not yotze. So now they say hechidami. What is going to be the case of this? When you say kra'at targum lo yatsa. If you say that it's talking about you have a regular Megillah in Hebrew, but you know sometimes you're with a crowd that doesn't speak a certain language, right? Let's say we're here and you're reading something in Hebrew to a crowd that speaks English. So as opposed to the way I'm doing it, where I'll read all of the text of the Gemara and then I'll translate, sometimes people will just look at the text in the Gemara and then they'll start translating or whatever text it might be. They won't read the original. So they're saying, if it means that the guy who reads the Megillah gets up, he has the Megillah in front of him, written in Hebrew, and then he basically ad-libs, and he says the words in English, or whatever language it might be, and obviously in those days it wasn't English. If he does that, that can't be the case they're talking about. Why? Because Hainu al-peh. Then it would be basically reading it by al-peh. That's the same thing, because if he doesn't, al-peh means you don't have the text in front of you, so it can't be that. So therefore, they say, Lotzricha, it must be the case, Diktiva Targum Vekari Le Targum. It means it's written in a different language, and you read it in that different language, because there has to be the kriya of what you're reading. Aval Korino Tale Lo Azopilaz. Here we're going to get to the problem in our Mishnah that we discussed when we read it. It says, Korino Tale Lo Azopilaz. But then, we read before that, V'hamarta Karata B'chol Lashon Lo Yatsa. Right? First, the Mishnah says, if you read it in any language, you're not Yotze. And then it says, you can read it to those who understand Laz, Loazid, in Laz. Okay? So, total contradiction here. So, Rabbi Shmuel, Damre Travaihu, Belaz Yivani. Both of them say that what it's talking about is Laz Yivani, meaning, in Yivanit, you can read it. You can write it in Yivani, you can read it in Yivani. Any other language, you can't. So, B'chol Hashem means any other language. Loazopilaz means Yivani. Now, if you remember, we saw this before, that there was one opinion that said that Yivanit is different from all the other languages, was on a higher level, and Dafka Yivanit is allowed. Then, if you recall, we said maybe that's only for Sifrei Torah because there was that whole story of where Talmai made them translate it into Greek, and that's why they allowed it. But other people had said it was Yivanit was unique, and that's what they try to answer here. So now, again, they ask the same question they asked before. Hechidami. Ilema diktiva ashurit v'kari le'yivanit. If it was written in the Hebrew script, right, the ashurit script, which is a script that they used, and we use now, v'kari le'yivanit, and they read in Yivanit, again, you have the same problem. Hainu al peh. So Amar Ravach, Amar Rabbi Elazar, shektuva belaz Yivanit. It's talking about that it was written in the laws of Yivanit. Okay, that's the case. So it was written in laws of Yivanit, it was written in, well, let's just say it simpler, it was written in Greek, and they read it in Greek. And that's the case that you're allowed. But any other language, you're not allowed to. And obviously, if it's written in Hebrew and you want to read it in a different language, that's also not allowed. Now we're just going off on a tangent. Since Rabbi Achat gave in the name of Rabbi Elazar this statement, we're going to see something else he said, totally unrelated. Amar Rabbi Achat, Amar Rabbi Elazar, minayin shekaro kadosh baruch hu Yaakov el. How do we know that God called Yaakov el? Shenemar vayikra lo el Elohei Yisrael. The only thing I thought this connected to was Havula Hashem B'nei Elim. We said that the Avot were called B'nei Elim, and that maybe it goes to there, where it goes back to last Sugya, how the Avot can be called Elim. Anyway, and maybe it really belongs there, but they brought it here because it connects with the same name. So what do they say? Amar Acham Rabbi Elazar, Shenemar Vayikra Lo El Elohei Yisrael. Okay, here's an interesting pasuk. I don't know if you ever paid attention to it. What happens in that pasuk? Yaakov makes a mizbech. The whole pasuk is this. Vayitzev sham mizbech. He makes a mizbech. Vayikra lo el Elohei Yisrael. Right? What does that mean? Who does he call? Right? He calls him el Elohei Yisrael. What does he call the mizbech? He makes a mizbech and he calls it el Elohei Yisrael. Very strange. You wouldn't be calling him mizbech. It almost sounds like a Avodah Zarah, right? So, what do they say? Vayikralo, de'isal kadat hachalam izbech karala Yaakov el, vayikralo Yaakov mipayle. It should have been, and Yaakov called it El Elohe Israel. Okay, they don't seem to say there's such a problem with him calling him izbech, but it should have said Yaakov. Vayikralo Yaakov. Ela vayikralo li Yaakov el. It must be that he called Yaakov El, Umikra'o El Elohei Yisrael. So you read the pasuk like this. Vayitzev sham mizbech, he makes a mizbech. Vayikra lo God, right? God calls Yaakov El. Okay, and who is that? Elohei Yisrael. It's called Mikra Masoras. I'm going to teach you this right now, but it's going to be relevant to a little while later. Mikra Masoras is when we switch words, right? We say, Vayikra lo Elohei Yisrael El. Right, we put two words there after, right? And if you're editing, you would usually go like this, right? And you would make this symbol to mean move those words over there. That's called a Mikra Masoras, where you switch the order of the words in the pasuk. We'll see soon because they're going to ask about reading the Megillah Masoras. What if you flip words around and you put those words before those words? Okay. So that's what they say. Maybe also they brought it for that reason, because it's a Mikra Masuras, the words are out of order, and then we have this whole discussion now about words being out of order. Okay, now we're back to our issue. Meitive. Now, okay, I want to use the page. Okay, until now I organized this stuff in the sheet, but now this is the part we really need the sheet for. Our Mishnah said, you can read it lelaz out belaz. And Rav and Shmuel said that means Yivanit. Okay? And therefore Yivanit is allowed, nothing else is allowed. Yeah, we're going to bring us contradiction from a braita. Meitive. So the contradiction, just to be clear, is on Rav and Shmuel's interpretation of our Mishnah. Meitive. Kra'a giftit, ivrit, ilamit, medit, yivanit, lo yatsa. If you read it in any of these languages, you're lo yatsa. What do you have here? Yivanit is with the list of everything else. So how could it be lo yatsa if he says yatsa? What? It also have Ivrit. Well, we talked about Ivrit. Ivrit doesn't mean... It's right. Ivrit is not a Shurit. It's this Tav Ivrit, which comes from the Eber Hanar. Right? The Ivrim, right? They were the... From Eber... Right. Exactly. So now, Halo Damya. So now they're going to answer... This is how you answer the Stira. Halo Damya Elalaha. This, our Mishnah, is talking about, okay, the Braita said you can't read it in Giftit and Yevanit and Medit and all the languages, right? Ivri, you can't read it. And that was talking about a particular situation. But our situation was talking about this. Giftit la Giftin, Ivrit la Ivrim, Ilmit la Imlim, Yevanit la Yevanim, Yatsa. There's two different types of reading it in translation. There's people who read it in translation because they understand that language, right? Like if you're, right, imagine you go to Turkey on vacation. I'm thinking about because I went there once and sat in shul and I remember, you know, I understood the davening but nothing else, right? But let's say they translate things into Greek there, okay? So, or sorry, I was in Turkey. They translate things into Turkish there, okay? So now, if I'm sitting in shul there and I don't understand Turkish, I'm not Yotze, right? Because that's not my language. So the bright which said, that's someone who doesn't understand that language. Right? That was the only situation I can understand. Someone's visiting somewhere else, because otherwise, obviously, why would you be reading it in any other language? It's hard to fathom there would be some situation. But I guess if someone's in a different shul and they're, right, and that's the way they do it in that shul, because, right, let's say the local shul here reads something in English because they understand English better, and someone happens to come who's Israeli and doesn't stand a word of English. So he wouldn't be Yotze. But where it says Korino Tala Lo Azot Bilaz, and what are they really playing up on here? It says Lilo Azot Bilaz. The people who that's their language, they're allowed to do that, and there's even a brayta that supports it, which says Giftit la Giftin, Ivrit la Ivrim, Ilmit la Ilmit, Yevanit la Yevanim, Yatsa. Okay, so there's two different situations. So then they say Ihachi Rabbi Shmuel, we have a problem then. Amay Mukmele Lematnim Bilaz Yevanit. Lugma b'chol laz. Then they should have said the Mishnah is talking about laz yivanit. It should have been any language for those who understand it. If that's the whole distinction, then Rav Shmuel's answer isn't accurate. Elamant nitin kibraita. So now what do they say? The Mishnah, when it says korino talalo lazo b'laz, really meant, okay, here, so we don't confuse braita. There's two braita. One says, Kra giftit ivridi li medi yivanit lo yatsa. The other braita says, Giftit la giftin yivanit li yivanit. So what they're saying is our Mishnah matches the braita that says, Giftit la giftit yivanit li yivanit, etc. Right? Our Mishnah means when it says, Korino tala lo azot belaz, it's talking specifically about people who speak that language, and not specifically yivanit. So then, what did Rav and Shmuel come to say? Bechi itmar Rav Shmuel be'alma itmar. What does that mean? To Amre Travayim Ulaz Yivani Lakol Kasher. We now have three dargot. We have, if you speak only Ashuri, you know, you read it only in Ashuri. If you speak any other language, you can read it in that language. Any other language, unless you understand that language, you can't speak it. You can't read it in that language, unless you understand it, except for Greek. Come Rav and Shmuel and say, Greek is unique. That if you're listening in Greek and you don't understand Greek, since Greek is on a higher level than all the other languages other than Ashurit, obviously, then you can hear it in Greek. That's the distinction they make. So then they say, V'haktani yivanit li yivanim, right? So why is it saying that right? Yivanit li yivanim, which makes it sound like only to those who speak Greek. So it sounds like in, right? Yivanit li yivanim in. That case works, but l'kulei alma lo, right? But not to anybody else. So now what do they say? Inu de'amar kirashbag. And now we go back to something we learned before. They hold like Rashbag, Ditznan, Rashbag, Omer, As Sfarim, Lohi Tiru Shechtivu, Eli Yevanit. You remember that was the opinion we saw? The even Sfarim, they were matir only in Yevanit and not any other language. The Lemru, so if that's the case, then Rav and Shmuel should have said, the Lemru, Halakha Kirashbag. They just should have said simply, the halacha is like Rashbag. Now, if you remember by Rashbag, what were we talking about? We're talking about Sfarim, Tfilin, and Mizuzot. We weren't talking about Megillah. So now we will see why. I amre halacha kirashbag, hava amina hanimile shar Sfarim. We would have thought that he's only talking about shar Sfarim, like Sfarim, Tfilin, and Mizuzot. Avam Megillah, dechtiv ba kichtavam emalo, but Megillah might have a unique halacha because of the kichtavam, and therefore we might not have understood from there, and therefore emalo, and therefore kamashlan, they have to say specifically their halacha, belaz yivanit, you're allowed to hear the Megillah and laz yivanit, meaning we hold in the theme of Rashbag, but we're going to stretch Rashbag even to, we're going to say that Rashbag meant what he said even in Megillah, which might not have been so obvious. Okay. In which case, Rav and Shmuel, just to go back, they're not really explaining the line about Karino Tala Lo Azot Bilaz. Lo Azot Bilaz means everybody in their language. If you speak English, you can read in English. If you speak French, you can read it in French. That's fine, as long as it's written in that language. Remember, it has to be a Megillah that's written in that language, and then you can read it in that language. Okay? And therefore, Rav and Shmuel are just coming to say, but if you want to read it, if you want to write it in, I'm sorry, one second, that's the case, then they're saying, all right. The unique thing about Yevanim, I just lost my train of thought from it, the unique thing about Yevanim is that even if you don't understand Yevanim, you can read it in that language. Okay? But if, right, any other language, it can only be a language that you speak and understand. Okay? What?
Or Ashurit.
Or Ashurit, right. And he, right, so we have, okay, let's start with our three categories. There's Ashurit, which you can read even if you don't understand. There's Yevanit, which you can read even if you don't understand. So it's really the same. Ashurit and Yevanit are the same.
And then everything else,
you can only read if you understand it. And obviously, but all of them, they have to be written in the language that you're reading it in. Because otherwise, it's like Kriya Ba'al Peh. Okay. V'halo'esh sheshama Ashurit yatsa. So now there's the basic question that many people ask, which is, V'halo yadem aikamri, right? How could you read it in Ashurit if you don't even understand what you're saying, right? If you don't understand Ashurit and you're reading it in Ashurit, you don't know what you're doing, right? This is what people complain about nowadays, that people don't understand what they're saying in Tefillah, right? Maybe we should do Tefillot in English if you only read English or whatever it might be. Midi tahave anashim va'ameh ha'aretz. It's a very strange answer. It says it's just like the women and the ameh ha'aretz who don't understand, right? Here's one of those derogatory statements about women. It's not derogatory.
It was reflective
of the time, clearly. They're not knocking women. They're just saying women in those days, and ameh ha'aretz, didn't understand apparently Hebrew also, right? They didn't understand maybe the language of the Torah and all that and the Tefillot. So, like those, so that's why anyone who's a lo'ez or shama shurit, he could be yotzei just like them. It's not actually a great answer. It doesn't really relate to the problem, right? The problem is a much more basic problem, which is how can we say tefillot and read things that we don't understand at all, which is a real issue that they struggle with in Chutz La'aretz, or even places here, possibly. So anyway, this Gemara doesn't really address it so well. But here's a great statement they say. Matkifla Ravina. He says, what kind of a question are you asking? Maybe this is really the answer to the question. What kind of a question are you asking? Atu anan ha'achashtranim b'nei haramachim mi'adina? Is there anybody here who really knows what achashtranim b'nei haramachim are? That's, even if you speak Hebrew, okay, ashurit, right? Nobody knows what the I can't even pronounce it. Achashtranim b'nei haramachim are, right? Nobody really knows what that means, right? We translate it, but nobody really knows what that means. Ela mitzvah kriyo presume nisa. What do we say? Why do we read it even if we don't understand what we're saying? Because it's part of the mitzvah of kriya presume nisa. There's a ma'amad tziburi, and maybe this is really the answer that he's asking a question, but he's really getting to an answer. There's something else going on besides just you understanding what you're reading. There's a ma'amad tziburi, there's a concept of presume nisa, of kriya. Okay? And therefore, hachanami mitzvah kriya presume nisa. Now you have to just question, does this apply to tefillah in general, right? This is for the Megillah. For the Megillah, if we all get together and read in Hebrew, even if we don't understand Hebrew, even if we read it in Greek, and we don't all understand Greek, we have some sort of public ceremony taking place, which is giving a presume nisa to the fact that we're doing this for Purim and we're celebrating, even if we don't exactly understand everything we're saying. So that's the idea. Okay? And that's what he's saying. That's why it doesn't need to be in a language we understand. And I think you could stretch it to tefillah also. But there's something, right, especially in the tzibur, but even in b'chidut, the fact that people are davening means something, even if the davening itself means something, even if you don't exactly understand everything you're saying. Kra'as serugin yetza. So now we have, what if you read it, you stop. And then you read again, and you stop. And you read again, and you stop. We actually saw this sugya before. It was in Rosh Hashanah. We learned this in Rosh Hashanah. Lo havayade rabbana mai serugin. Okay, the first thing we're going to say is the rabbis didn't know what it meant, serugin. Shamu ala amta debe rabbi. I assume you'll remember this, those who learned it with us. They remembered the Amman, they saw the Amman Beit Rabbi. Okay, we're going to see a whole bunch of stories about the Amman Beit Rabbi. Now, all these things that she knew. De ka'amre luhu le rabbanan, de hava'ai le paske paske le Beit Rabbi. They were coming, bits and pieces, right? Piecemeal. Slowly, one rabbi was coming, then another. She said, Amatayatem nechasim, seirugim, seirugim. So they understood all of a sudden that that's what seirugim means. Lo havayad rabbana mai chalog logot. They didn't know what this was. Shamu al amti de be rebi de amar lehu gavra de kamavad de parpachine. He was scattering purslane, it's called. It's a type of leaf, flower. So then they knew that's what it means. What does the word salsila mean? She saw some guy who was twisting his hair around, curling his hair. Okay? She clearly was this character, right? Number one, she knew a lot of words, and number two, she was this character who would, you know, kind of make comments to everybody.
And this is a few lines after they say that women didn't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Here's a counterbalance to the women not knowing languages. Lo havayad rabbana mai hashlecha l'Hashem yahavcha. Put upon Hashem your yahavcha. Amar Rav Chana zim nechada avaziona bahada hutaya. I was with an Arab guy here, right? Women, Arabs, all the people they were down on, right? Some guy. The kadirina tuna. He was carrying a burden. For amar li shkol yahavcha v'shadeh agamlai. Take your burden and put it on the camel. So now they learned that Yahavcha was a burden means put on God your burdens. It's a nice pasuk, right? He'll be weighed down by your burdens, and you can be less weighed down by them. My v'tatatia b'matate hashmed. Here's right a bunch of these words we know very well from Hebrew. It's funny they didn't know them, right? You should write the matate. They didn't know what a matate was. Hashmed, shma'u al amtid be rabbi davet amri lechaverta, right? Here's obvious that she would know this word. Shkole tatia v'tate. She said to her friend, go pick up the broom and start sweeping. Okay, and therefore they knew it was just be swept up. Tana Rabbanan, kara'a serugin yatsa. If you read it, serugin yatsa. Serusin lo yatsa. If you do it, misaras, where you do, you switch the order of words, lo yatsa. Rabbi Muna amar b'shem Rabbi Yehuda, af b'serugin im shaha kedei ligmor et kula, Choser LaRosh. Even with Serugin, if you stop, okay, now we said you can stop and start. This we also learned before. If you wait in order to finish, if you stop enough time that you could actually have finished the entire Megillah in that time, then you have to go back. And it's too much of a break is no good. You can't stop and then wait half an hour and then go back and then wait half an hour. I'm Rabbi Yosef Halacha Rabbi Muna. He paskins like Rabbi Muna, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Yosef. From where he is until the end, odilma meresha lasefa. What does it mean? The time it would take to finish the Megillah, from where you're up to, right? You could be up to Perek Yud pasuk Aleph, in which case there's two more pasukim left. And if you take a break of a minute or 20 seconds, does that mean that you have to start from the beginning?
Is the break? Do they have the tradition of when Haman's name was read to?
Yep. That's a good question. I doubt it. Okay, I don't remember where that when it starts that minhag, but I think it's later.
That would be a break.
Right. So they're saying, so a break is fine. As long as it's not a break, where it would take you to finish from there, right? So now he's saying, what does it mean? To finish the Megillah. To the Kedet, right? You take a break as long as it takes to read the Megillah. Does it mean to read the Megillah from where you're up to? Or Dilma Meresha the safe word. Does it mean to read the entire Megillah? Right. Let's say 25 minutes or 20 minutes.
Gets shorter as the
right. Obviously. So Amarle Meresha the safe. It means the entire Megillah. In Ken Natatat Vercha Lishirin. Otherwise, you're going to have right. First of all, different. Even this way, different people read it at different speeds. But basically, the time it would take to read the entire Megillah, let's say 20 minutes would be maybe the shortest, right? You could read the whole thing in 20 minutes, maybe. So that's what it means. It doesn't mean from where you're up to. Otherwise, you're going to end up with all different times each time. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yirmi Abba, Abba, Amar Rav, Halacha ke Rabbi Muna. Okay, now we're going to see different people who, yes, paskin like him or didn't paskin like him. Ushmuel Amar, Ein Halacha ke Rabbi Muna. B'surah manuhachi, and surah, that's what they said. They had this masurah that Rabbi Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yirmi Abba, Abba that said in the name of Rab, that the halacha is like Rabbi Muna, and Shmuel said no. But Pumbedita, they said it differently, manuhachi. Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rab, it wasn't Rabbi Abba, B'shem Rabbi Yirmi Abba, in the name of Rabbi Yirmi Abba, Abba, it was Rav Kahana who said in the name of Rab. Okay, either way, it goes back to Rav, halacha ke Rabbi Muna, Shmuel Amar Ein halacha ke Rabbi Muna. But now we're going to have the third Masorah, which is Rabbi Bivai Matne Ipcha. He says that Rav Amar Halacha ke Rabbi Muna, Ushmuel Amar, Ein Halacha ke Rabbi Muna, Ushmuel Amar Halacha ke Rabbi Muna. He says, no, Dafka Shmuel Paskin like Rabbi Muna, and Rav Paskin against Rabbi Muna. Amar Rav Yosef, Nakut de Rabbi Bi Biadecha. It must be the Rabbi Bi was right. Why? To Shmuel who dechayish liyachidai. Shmuel in general is choshesh for a dat yachid. When there's one guy who says something against the general klal, Shmuel usually goes. He goes with the underdog. You could say, right? He goes for the unique opinions. Okay. Ditnan. How do we know this? It says in the Mishnah, Shomeret Yabam shekidesh achivet achota. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera amru omrim lo hamten ad sheaseh achicha hagadol maaseh. Okay. Here's Yibum. This is a bit of a hakdama. We're going to get to Yavam in a few months. Yibum. A woman's supposed to marry, right? The brother dies. He's supposed to marry the next brother in line. He's supposed to marry the oldest brother. He's supposed to marry the sister. If he doesn't, I'm sorry, the wife. If he doesn't marry her, not yet. He hasn't taken care of Yibum or Chalitza yet. Okay? He's supposed to. She's called a Shomeret Yavam. Okay? She's supposed to be Shamor to this Yavam. She can't get married yet until he takes care of it. Not only that, it's as if she's married to now, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, it's almost like she has a zikat yibum, let's say there's four brothers, to all four of those brothers, which means that any four of them can potentially marry her, in which case none of them can marry her sister. Because her sister, it's like arayot, right? Because they could be potentially married to her. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira says. He says, they say to the younger brother who's engaged to the Kidesh Achivet Achota, if he's engaged to the sister, he can't marry the sister until the older brother does Yibum. Because he's a potential Yibum. Since the older brother hasn't done it yet, he's potential. So he has to wait till the older brother marries the sister. And then he can marry the sister. You can marry sisters. Two brothers can marry two sisters. You just can't marry the sister of your wife. And since she's potentially could be his wife, if the older brother, let's say, doesn't do it, and the next brother doesn't do it, and whatever, and it gets to him, so until the Yibum act is done, or Chalitza, he's not allowed to marry the sister. So Chachamim say no. Since he's the younger brother, and the older brother's the one who's supposed to do Yibum, it's no problem. He can marry the younger sister, because it's not his inyan to do the Yibum, it's the older brother. Yeah, we're not worried that potentially maybe the older brother will renege and he'll have to deal with it. So therefore, Chachamim disagree. But what do you see? That Shmuel Paskins like this unique opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Amar Shmuel halachak Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. So here we see that Shmuel goes with the unique opinions. So therefore, he flips the nusach. Tana Rabbanan, Hishmit bas sofer otiyot upsukim ukra'an hakore kimiturgaman hamitargem yatsa. What if it's missing a few letters or psukim? And the guy reads it like a Maturgaman would read, right? How would a Maturgaman read? He'd see the Hebrew and he'd say it in his language. So likewise, if you're missing a few words or letters, you can read it as if, right, it's as if you're reading it, even though it's missing. So they say, Meitive, Hayuba otiyot metushtashot o mekuraot, im mishuman nikar kshira. If you can still see, right, what happens on a cloth, it's almost like etched in. So if you could still see the etchings, even if the ink is gone, then it's kashir. But if you don't, psula. So how could it be that if it doesn't have otiyot and you're saying it bal peh, basically, it's okay? Lokasha habakula habamiksata. If it's only a few spots here and there, it's fine. But if it's all across the whole Megillah that there's things missing, then it only works if we shuman nikar. Tana Rabbanan. Hishmit baha kore pasuk echad. Lo yomar ekrat kula vacharkach ekra oto pasuk. Right? What if you forgot a pasuk? So you don't say, I'll finish the whole Megillah and then I'll just read that one pasuk I missed. You have to start from that pasuk and read straight there, straight through from there to the end. Like we talked about with the Amidah yesterday. This somebody brought up yesterday, right? What if you come late and you hear the second half? Right? You can't say, I'll read the first half later. Okay, the end is pretty straightforward. We'll try to go a little bit more and then we'll stop. Mitnamnem yatsa. Hechidami mitnamnem. We've seen this a bunch of times also. What does it mean if he was dozing? Where we said it's okay if you doze. Amar Rav Ashi, nim ben olim, tir velo tir, dekaro lev ane velo yada la duri svara, v'chi mitkaru le mitkar. What type of sleep is it? It's a sleep where he's not exactly asleep, he's not exactly awake. If you call him, he'll answer, but he doesn't know how to answer you back to like a really thoughtful question. But if you remember, if you remind him of something, he'll remember what you were talking about. Okay, it's like I remember my grandfather used to fall asleep. My grandfather, Lava Shalom, used to fall asleep at the table. And he'd wake up and he'd say, I heard every word. And that was, you know, that's mitnamnem. Hayah kotva v'dorshah migihah. Im kiven libo yatsa. This is if he's writing the Megillah, or he's darshaning the Megillah, or he's correcting it. editing the text, im kibein libo, if he's reading it while he's doing it, yatsa. Hechidami. Im kamasadrim psuka psuka v'katav la, if he's misadr the psukim, he's actually writing the psukim as he reads. Kiki bein libo my have alpehu. That's basically writing, reading baalpeh, because he's remembering what's supposed to be written and he writes it down. That's like reading baalpeh. Ela dekata psuka psuka v'karela. No, it means he writes the pasuk and then he reads the pasuk. It's not like he's reading the pasuk as he's writing, in which case it's really alpeh. It means he wrote the pasuk and then he reads it. Umi yatsa, could he really be yotze this way? V'hamar v'chelbo amar v'chame barguri amar rav halacha kedivrei haomer kula. Okay, so now what do they say? Okay, we'll finish up here. What does he say? Here, by the way, we're getting to an interesting machlokan. Some people thought that you had to read the Megillah only from Perek Gimel, Ishudin, that you didn't need to read the Vashti story. Okay, that's one thing you see here. And they're saying, even according to the guy who said that, everyone agrees that to read the Megillah, the whole thing has to be written. So if he's writing, reading, continuing to write, reading, continuing to write, reading, that doesn't work. It's not Baal Peh, but you don't have a Megillah Ketuvah, and the Megillah has to be Ketuvah in order to read it. Okay, so therefore, what do they say? It must be, Dimancha Megillah Kameh, he puts one Megillah in front of him, Bekari Mina Psuka Psuka, and he reads from there, Pasuk Pasuk, Bekatavla. Okay, and as he's reading each Pasuk, he writes it. In other words, the only way, and we're going to see this tomorrow, we'll get on, they're going to say that the real way to write a Megillah is to have a scroll in front of you, open, and from there you copy it into another scroll. You can't even write the Megillah Baal Peh. You have to write it with another scroll in front of you. So obviously that's what they were talking about, that he had the scroll opened, and he was reading from there, and then writing from there.
And that was okay.
And that's okay, because he's reading from if he had the intent, now then there's a big question. What does it mean, his intent? What do you mean, mitzvot tzricho kavana, mitzvot toni kavana? So what do you mean if he had intent? If you just pick up a lulav and etrog, and the arba meaning, without making a bracha, you're yotze. That's why we put it upside down first, because you're yotze even without intending. And that's why once you're yotze, you can't make a bracha. So then, what do they say? Kivein libo must be, if you intended to do the act of reading, not to be yotzei the mitzvah. Here, you're really writing. You're not really reading. You're just reading toch kidei writing. That's not considered reading unless you're really intending to read. Okay? We have this by shofar. We learned the same thing about intending to blow the shofar, right? If it just happens to make a sound, but you weren't even intending to blow, that's not even a shofar blow. A shofar blow has to be you blew. Now, you might not have intended to do the mitzvah. Right, like if someone's walking behind the shul and he hears it, right, he's yotzei, even if he wasn't intending to be mekayim the mitzvah, because the blowing was a real blowing. But here, you might say the kriya wasn't a real kriya unless you actually intend to read. So you need to actually have intention to read in order to be yotzei. Okay, even if it wasn't to read for the purpose of the mitzvah. Okay, there has to be an act of reading happening.